My name is Andy, and this is my good buddy John, and you're listening to the Packers Blitz podcast. This podcast is done by two diehard Packers fans who survived the dark times of the 1980s Packers football and live to talk about it. Packers Blitz is dedicated to the greatest fans in the NFL, Packers fans. So, Packers fans, Packers Blitz fans, John and I were on hiatus for 3 weeks. Apologies. So, you know, what can we say? What can we say, John? It's the off season. So now we're back and we've got a lot to talk about. Actually, I've got a lot to talk about. John has caught a sniffle and will engineer yes. the audio for the majority of tonight's podcast. Hopefully, he can use sound effects to make my voice sound like James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones is Darth Vader, by the way. Or John Ratzenberger, so that I can star in several upcoming Pixar movies. Right, John? And John, with this episode, episode 66, we're two-thirds of the way to 100 episodes. How about that?
Yay!
How about that?
Yay!
Yep. So, John, you're a little bit under the weather. You want to say hi to everybody, and then
hi everyone.
Okay.
I'm hopped up on cold medication, so I'm making Andy run the ship. I'm engineering and producing tonight for him, just because if he asks me a question, I might zone out on him because, like I said, I am on deep cold medication because I caught a cold while I was on a business trip. By the way, just really quickly, I was in California, and when I was wearing my Packers hoodie, people were from the street, Andy, from the street yelling, "Go Pack, go." Also, I got on an Uber on the way to the airport with the cheesehead, and we talked nothing but Packers. Why there was two of my other coworkers in the car. Me and this cheesehead, he's lived in California all his life, but he became a Packer fan slowly after the Packers started to come here with Brett Favre and play the 49ers. Interesting fact, I did not know this, but according to him, he's a lifelong football fan in California, and he loves the Packers. He said no one cares about the Rams, nobody cares about the Chargers. Basically, in LA, you're two things: you're a Packer fan or a Cowboy fan, maybe a 49er fan, maybe. Now, typically, he says you go up north in California, you're typically a 49er fan. There are some Packer fans. But typically it's Cowboys, 49ers in Northern California and Southern California. It is Packer fans, 49er fans with some Cowboy fans, but nobody cares about the Rams. Nobody cares about the Chargers. And I found that extremely strange. I asked him why, and he goes, "I don't know. People just have better things to do."
Right. They have, they have short attention spans, John. You know, California. You know, they're enjoying the weather, going down to the beach. And so you have to be a really, really good team, like say the Dodgers are. The Dodgers are great.
Yes.
They probably have a pretty strong fan following in LA. And I know they do. So,
The teams that rule in LA, according to him, is Dodgers. Lakers.
Yeah.
Kind of the Rams. Nobody cares about the Clippers or the Kings. They could care less. And then he says, believe it or not, hockey's getting bigger, which I found that really weird. And this guy's a huge sports fan. He says a lot of sports in LA, a lot of soccer. LA Galaxy is there typically, but he says the only reason you go to a Rams or a Chargers games is either one, it's raining outside. Two, you got free tickets. Three, someone came in from out of town and you just want to show them SoFi Stadium. But or the Packers are playing. Typically, the Packers are playing. He says that stadium will sell out. Most of the time, it does not. Weird, huh? I just found that weird.
Yeah. Yeah, John, I was in Disney World a few weeks ago, so it's rough. I was in Florida, so, you know, went from Hawaii and then I went to Florida. It was 78 degrees the entire time, so it was rough. Nice. There were lots of Packers fans there, lots of Packers gear when I was walking around. I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised there were so many Packer fans there. And so some of the Disney workers are kind of Wisconsin transplants to Florida.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them were telling us that they were from Wisconsin and they were Packer fans and all this kind of stuff. So that was great, actually. You know, that's the way it is when you're you see this all the time, John. You hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
All the time.
Packers fans are really everywhere throughout this great country, throughout the world, actually. So
throughout the world.
Right. Yep. And that's part of the reason why we do this podcast, John, is to get that information, that Packers news out to the world, and also some of the interesting happenings that are going on in the NFL, which I'm about to get to right now. So anything else, John, before I get going on tonight's podcast?
Nope, my voice is about to give out, so take it away.
So very interesting happenings in the NFL. So we're going to give you a little bit of a quick rundown of Packers and NFL free agency as quickly as we possibly can. There was a lot that happened today. It's like beep, 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 beep. Very interesting free agent news. Just a flurry, a plethora of free agent signings today. So first off, and I kind of rank these, John, you chime in when you want. The Packers released 11-year veteran left tackle David Bakhtiari. That's not really earth-shattering news. That's something that we had thought they were going to do, and that was not anything that we were like geniuses or anything. That was just something that was going to happen. They could not have a $40 million cap hit this year with him. So they had to release him or get him to restructure his contract, this and that. I think there were some issues with that as well, John. He was a little bit reluctant. And so because of that, there's no way he was going to stay with the Packers at that number. No. And so they released him. Not a big surprise. Second thing, the Packers also released 7-year running back Aaron Jones. That was a little bit more of a surprise. You and I talked about that before. So, John, Packers fans, no more sombrero. No. It can now be found at Goodwill. So, it's too bad because he was a great ambassador for Packers football. The fans loved him. I loved him. He's great. And so it's a tough one. There comes a point in time in a running back's life, you know, with a team that, you know, he's 29 now. I think he's about to be 30. When you get to about that age, the life expectancy on a NFL running back is usually, past 30, it's you're on a downward trend, right? So it is a little bit of a surprise because it was Aaron Jones and what he meant to the community and what he meant to the Packers, but not a super big surprise, probably a little bit more of a surprise than David Bakhtiari was. So the Packers did. they signed running back Josh Jacobs, formerly of the Las Vegas Raiders. The deal is for 4 years, $48 million, with $12.5 million guaranteed. So I kind of like that number, John, the $12.5 million guaranteed. There's sometimes that you will guarantee way too much money, especially to a running back, because he's only one knee injury or one leg injury away from being done for, right? So we talked about this off air. Josh Jacobs was pretty much a little bit younger version, a few years younger than Aaron Jones. The deal makes a lot of sense. I was hoping, because I heard about him coming to the Packers first, I was hoping they were going to have both. So I was getting a little bit greedy. Mm. I'm like, wow, what a tandem, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he is a little bit more of a bruiser, a little bit more between the tackles than Aaron Jones. I wouldn't say he's quite as doesn't have quite the burst or isn't able to get to the edge as easy as Aaron Jones does. But he is a very similar back. He does catch the ball out of the backfield. He is a great runner. Was a little bit injured last year, but so it's good to see us acting right away and signing him.
Yeah.
And getting him.
Yeah.
The Packers are about to release inside linebacker Devondre Campbell. That's not a big surprise. Given the Packers were kind of butting heads, so to speak. Anytime you're getting paid that kind of money and you aren't really performing up to your contract and you're giving any sort of becoming more of a problem, he wasn't going to be more he was going to be with the Packers, so he really, he kind of found his way out of Green Bay. And not a big surprise there either. They couldn't afford to pay him the money they were paying him. So, former Vikings starting quarterback Kirk Cousins, John, signed with the Atlanta Falcons. So I believe that's a 4-year deal. I don't know what the financial terms of that was. The only thing I was thinking was, thank goodness. Now John and I won't have to see Kirk with his shirt off anymore, right? Skull, right? The
thank God, yeah. Costco hot dog.
Right. So we won't be seeing Kirk a couple times a year anymore. So
So Andy, I got the numbers on it here for you since I'm producing tonight for you.
Okay.
The deal is worth $180 million, including a $50 million signing bonus.
Yep.
And $100 million guaranteed over 4 years.
Wow. Yeah, they're really hoping his Achilles heals correctly, right?
Better.
He's never been that mobile, John, so I don't foresee there being an issue anyway with that.
Yeah.
So as long as he's able
to, he's in a weak division. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in a weak
division. Sorry to talk over you.
Yeah. He's in a weak
division. Sorry to talk over you, but I'm just saying that he's in a weak division. I mean, you got Derek Carr. Okay.
Yep.
You got the
Baker
Rook
Mayfield.
Carolina,
he resigned.
And you got Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Which, by the way, he's another Geno Smith. Because remember, Geno Smith had that great year with the Seahawks. They signed him to a big contract. And, well, look at him now. Pretty average.
Yep.
That's all I have to say on that one. It's a weak division. Kirk Cousins will flourish in there if his Achilles is fine. He'll do fine and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they'll finally utilize some of the weapons that they have there. They have a really good tight end. They have a wide receiver. They've got some running backs. So, and a really good offensive line, by the way. So that's going to help him. That's a perfect landing spot for him. So, and I'm happy, that he's not in our division anymore, to be quite honest.
Not in our division. We don't have to get his shirt off.
I would anticipate that there's going to be some lean years for the Vikings, the Vikings, in the next few years without
him.
So
they have no quarterback.
Correct.
They don't.
Zero quarterback. So unless something miracle happens and they draft another, maybe not a Patrick Mahomes, but somebody that's really good in the draft, they're going to be drafting a quarterback this year. They don't have anybody.
Have to.
So unless they're planning on signing somebody, a lot of the quarterbacks are gone. People are about to find out. We're going to go through that a little bit in the podcast tonight. But there's not a whole lot of stellar options right now at quarterback on the free agent market. So it's not going to be Justin Fields or anything that's going to save your franchise. So sorry, Justin.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
not
gonna happen. Now the Bears, I got to laugh at them because there aren't a whole lot of landing spots for Justin Fields and he has not been traded. So what are you going to do? Keep them? That's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. That's just going to create some other issues for the franchise. So I don't see that happening at all, which means they aren't going to get the value that they should have got for him. So running back Saquon Barkley, he was a name that was thrown out there several times going to the Packers. He is formerly of the New York Giants. He signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, John. Then the running back that was with the Eagles, DeAndre Swift, and was also with the Lions before that, signed with the Bears. So the Bears now have DeAndre Swift. I don't think that's a big deal. No. I mean, it could be, you know, I think if they signed Taylor Swift, that would have been a big deal. But yeah, that just popped into my head. Man, I'm really on tonight. This is pretty awesome.
You are on tonight.
That's 3 weeks off. I think it's really helped.
Got you re-energized.
Yes, no kidding. And then just popped onto my phone about an hour ago. Former Chargers running back Austin Eckler is signing a 2-year deal with the Washington Commanders. So figured since we were talking about a lot of running backs, a lot of the top running backs just got signed. So another reason this validates our point that it was great that the Packers moved on quickly from Aaron Jones. Yeah. They knew they weren't going to sign him or weren't keep him. And so they signed somebody right away, right? So Josh Jacobs, it's exciting that they did something, John, in free agency.
Right.
So it's fine. It's kind of a wash. You know, as long as he can stay healthy this year, I think it's going to be a wash. So,
and Derrick Henry is still out there, which the Packers will not get, but he's good for a 2-year contract. Yep. You know, somebody will grab him like Baltimore. Yep.
And then
I can see him in Baltimore. Yeah.
And then we talked about a landing spot possibly for Aaron Jones. Cowboys keep coming up because Tony Pollard got signed by the Titans. So again, Derrick Henry is not with the Titans anymore. They picked up Pollard to, I guess, try to replace him. I don't think you replace a Derrick Henry too easily, especially with a Tony Pollard, but he is now no longer a Dallas Cowboy. Since we do have some people from Texas that listen to us, John, figured I'd bring that one up as well. So he is.
Yeah.
So now the Cowboys really don't have anybody at running back. So we were talking about off air. We couldn't remember his name. Ezekiel Elliott.
Thank you, Ezekiel Elliott, with
them for several years. Fantastic player, but then he just kind of ran out of gas, right? And they couldn't afford to pay him. Tony Pollard comes in, expected to be the number one back. He wasn't. He's kind of more of a change of pace type guy. He's not really a guy that's going to carry your franchise, so to speak. Running the football, right? So,
are we going to talk about the safety that we signed, or is that something you're talking about later?
We are.
All right.
Yeah, and that was the highlight of my day, John.
Yes, it was.
We had talked about him on a previous podcast, and we had talked about him a lot. So, yeah, we'll talk about him a little bit later. So, we're going to talk about that right now. The franchise tag. The NFL franchise tag. Very interesting. The pack passed on placing the franchise tag on any of their 12 free agents. So we have 12 free agents, John, didn't put the franchise tag on any of them. That was not a surprise at all, because we didn't have anybody that warranted putting a franchise tag on. However, nine other players were tagged around the NFL. Now the Packers can still negotiate with them if they wish. However, these players are on the non-exclusive tag, which means the tagging team can either match an offer or receive two first-round picks in return from the offering team. John, Packers Blitz fans, Packer fans, football fans out there, that just doesn't happen. By the way, so typically nobody's going to give up two first round picks for pretty much anybody. Maybe if it was like Aaron Donald in his prime, now Not even.
Sure.
Not
sure.
Even. No way. Yeah. In heck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway, but there were four notable players who were tagged and could help the Packers. So I figured I'd bring them up. One of those players, probably the number one guy, is wide receiver T. Higgins from the Cincinnati Bengals. And he has expressed his desire to leave Cincy and has asked for his opportunity to kind of test free agency. So I think they want to get something for him. That's why they tagged him. But he's going to try to negotiate with another team and try to set up a deal. And again, then they will not tag him, and then they'll get something else for him. They are not going to get two first-round picks, even for T. Higgins. He's a great player.
No, so not
T. Higgins. His PFF grade, by the way, his Pro Football Focus grade is 72.1, which is good. He was ranked 45th out of 128 wide receivers last year. Actually, he would have been ranked much higher. He was hurt the majority of the year. So he is definitely a great player and a great talent and would look great on the Packers, wouldn't he? But the thing is, you got to be able to pony up the dough for him, and then you'd have to give up the draft picks. I don't see the Packers doing that, but it would be nice to get another one, just being greedy, another wide, really good elite wide receiver. So another wide receiver that I was thinking about, and then, you know, it didn't matter. it was Michael Pittman from the Indianapolis Colts. It was too late. He already got re-signed by the team on a 3-year deal to stay. So it doesn't really matter. So that was the second person I had. There was so much going on today. Then we had talked about, John, the third player, safety Antoine Winfield Jr. We talked about him. He is ranked first, John, out of 95 safeties, number one. And we had kind of talked about that. He had a fantastic year. There really wasn't any area he didn't excel in. And so we spoke really highly of him. Now, we are never going to give two first-round picks up for him. But as far as it is right now, and that could change any second now, I don't believe they extended him or came up with another contract for him. But it has been tagged. His PFF grade, by the way, John, was 90.7. Anytime that anybody's in the 90 range, that is elite. Mm-hmm. And he, again, was ranked number one, first. Then the next person I had listed was edge rusher Brian Burns for the Carolina Panthers. You've talked about him, John, before. Unfortunately, he got traded to the New York Giants. For a couple draft picks. They were not two number ones, by the way. And then they promptly signed him to a 5-year, $150 million contract. Ooh. And there's no way in heck. No way in heck are ever going to do that. But he is a fantastic player. But that's a lot. That's a lot to give up for him. So, he's definitely going to strengthen the New York Giants defense. They're going to need a great defense because they have a horrible offense, you know. Yes, correct. The last player I want to talk about was cornerback Legarius Sneed. Now, we talked about him before. He has been, again, tagged. He's with the Kansas City Chiefs right now. He's a Super Bowl champion in the last couple of years. Great player. His PFF grade is 72.5, which is good. He's ranked 30th out of 127 cornerbacks. But that guy makes plays. So I think he made a play in the Baltimore Ravens game that caused a fumble that basically kind of changed the outcome of the game, right? Guy's going in for a touchdown. He's able to knock the ball loose. So he steps up when he has to. He didn't play great in the Super Bowl, but he is I think he's a really, really good player, John. So they're never going to give up two first-round picks for him. So waiting for him right now to get signed by KC, but I don't know if they want to pay pony up the dough for him. So they just did with Chris Jones, John. And gave him a big fat contract. So I don't know if they're going to be able to do it also with L'Jarius Sneed. Any comments on that, John, before we move on?
No, that makes sense. We are not going to pay anyone that kind of money, $150 million, for a defensive player, unless it's Reggie White status.
Reggie White.
And obviously, he's not Reggie White, mm-hmm. and nobody's Reggie White. No, all makes sense. The T. Higgins thing, yeah, to be greedy would be nice, but we got a nice core. So I'm happy with it. Although we should draft another receiver, which we will talk about in our NFL draft.
Yeah, we're going to need more of a number one. We've got a lot of twos and threes, but I don't know if we have a number one yet. But it's looking very promising, John. It definitely is. We played great in the playoffs, and the future's looking bright for us. Definitely is. So, more importantly, the Packers may be interested in these two players who are not franchise tagged. So, very surprisingly, there was a particular player, John, that you wanted me to talk about. Safety Xavier McKinney. Mm-hmm. Xavier McKinney is formerly of the New York Giants now. He's a perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's new defensive scheme. Perfect fit. McKinney,
yes,
will be highly coveted by other NFL teams because of his all-around ability to stop the run in the pass, right? And so he is not coveted anymore, which is really good. So we're going to get to that in a second.
We have coveted him.
Yeah, McKinney, who was selected in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft, played in all 17 games last year, posted 3 interceptions, with 11 passes defended, and had 116 tackles, John, which is a lot from a safety. So he can that's defend the pass and the run, which is pretty awesome. So just in time for this podcast, the Packers signed McKinney to a 4-year, $68 million deal. Thank you, Packers front office, for diving headfirst into free agency in 2024. How many days have we had where we had two big signings? This is not a small signing. Xavier McKinney was probably one of the top two safeties out there, if not the top
two safeties.
Yeah, or the top one. So it's pretty exciting because we don't have any safeties. We have one. And he was a rookie last year, right? So an area of need. You can start to address that maybe more in free agency or through the draft. But having him, and they called him a centerpiece. That's not me saying it. The pundits out there, the pundits said centerpiece for Jeff Hafley's defense, John. So things are looking up, huh?
I love it.
So that's awesome.
Love it.
And then another guy that I wanted us to maybe look at was another stellar player was defensive tackle Christian Wilkins of the Miami Dolphins, highly productive interior lineman. Unfortunately, he got signed already. So unfortunately, he's now playing with the Las Vegas Raiders. And he got a huge deal, John, very similar to the one that Brian Burns got. We're talking well over $100 million. No way the Packers were going to be paying that. He is a very good player.
We're not doing that.
Right. So, although we do need some interior defensive linemen still, that we need some of the guys to either develop, or we got to pick up some big beefy guys in the draft, right? Or in free agency.
Yes.
But, so absolutely. Any comment on those two? McKinney especially, John. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but that's pretty awesome.
No,
they acted right away, you know, and did something about it. And then, screw around. Sorry
for my potty
mouth, but they didn't F around.
No. That's awesome because that's exactly the way that should be stated. Is you know, we sit there and we sneak in some guys, you know what I mean? Like a Rasul Douglas, Keyshawn Nixon. You know, we get guys like that, right? That's usually what happens. Well, yeah, okay, we got that guy. We pick him up during the season and they help and they're fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But this guy is premier quality, okay? This guy, we were, and people argued this after the 49er game all the time. If we had a decent safety, we would have beat the 49ers. And I looked at it and I went, well, yeah, the pass caught by, again, I'm hopped up on code medication, so please help me out, Andy. The tight end for the 49ers is
Kittle.
Kittle. Like, you know, Savage was trying to cover him. That didn't work.
Burned.
And Kittle goes in for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he got totally burned.
Yeah.
McKinney won't let that happen. McKinney will knock that ball down, possibly intercept it, possibly throw Kittle off his route.
Yep.
And guess what? We win that game.
Yeah, and I think Darnell Savage had another play that he could have intercepted a ball and didn't do that either.
Correct.
So, although he made a great play in the Dallas game, he did return one for a touchdown.
He did.
So thank you, Darnell Savage, for that. But in that San Francisco game, you have to make plays when they're there for you to make them. And it was not a difficult
Christian McCaffrey
play.
The Christian McCaffrey touchdown.
Oh, gosh.
Another one.
That was a whiff. Yeah.
That was another one. Yeah. Now, granted, they're probably going to score, but who knows? But they shouldn't have scored that easy. So I look at this is this is finally the Packers going, maybe we've learned our lesson. We will see, but you can't have all this young talent and just let it waste and let it rot. And that's what I saw a lot where they just said, draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. It did not get the people that we needed right away. So yeah, love it. What's next?
And now we're going on to some more NFL news. This one is very, very interesting. And it's also a debacle. The Russell Wilson trade to the Denver Broncos is looking a lot like the Packers trade for John Hadel in 1974, 50 years ago, Packer fans out there. So please read the incredible article from Bill Huber of Packers Central and SI.com, because the majority of the information I pulled from his article. So I just wanted to shout out to him. So, but it that was a debacle, that trade for Hadel, and we're about to talk about that a little bit. I've always wanted to talk about that on one of our podcasts, John, and now's the perfect time, because the trade that was made for Russell Wilson and what they had to give up to get him is very similar to what happened to the Packers and John Hadel when they picked him up from the Rams in, I think it was during the season in 1974. So we're going to talk about that. So very interesting. After two seasons with the Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson was released last Monday, a week ago. The price to acquire Russell was steep, with the Broncos sending first, second, and fifth round picks in 2022, first and second round picks in 2023, along with quarterback Drew Lock, tight end Noah Fant, and defensive lineman Shelby Harris to the Seattle Seahawks. As if that wasn't enough, Denver gave Wilson a 5-year contract worth $254 million. Then,
yikes.
Then Denver proceeded to go 5-12 in 2022 and 8-9 last season. So not only did the Broncos not win games, Packers didn't win any games in 1974 either. So not only did the Broncos not win games, but they paid him $124 million, and their salary cap will be plagued by $85 million in dead money. By the way, so Packer fans, listen up to this. Listen into this. That's more than double the dead cap charges incurred by the Packers on Aaron Charles Rodgers, which was $40.3 million. So the dead cap hit this year for the Broncos, that's why they're cutting so many people, John. That really good safety they have that we talked about, you know, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He's a free agent now too. They cut him. So
yeah.
So $85 million in dead money. And so breaking news, beep, 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 beep. This just in, the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Russell Wilson to a team-friendly one-year deal.
Oh, my God.
John, any quick reactions to that? So the Steelers.
What a joke.
Okay. I think it's really interesting.
I think it's a joke because it is very interesting. I think it's a joke because what did we say about Jordan Love? Okay, when everybody said, put Clifford, the big red dog, in there. Put Clifford in there. Sean Clifford, our rookie draft pick from Penn State. Put him in there. Put him in there. Love stinks. It doesn't work, right? Well, what did we say? Give him a chance. He can't grow and develop when someone is taking his snaps. Excuse me. This is the same thing. You can't sign Russell Wilson and have Pickett sit on the sideline. You just can't. Or whoever they have in Pittsburgh.
Mason Rudolph.
Which they don't have a quarterback. Mason Rudolph, give me a break. They both suck.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So you bring Russell Wilson in after this debacle in Denver. He's got to learn another new offense, right? So that's two new offenses in how many years?
He's going to come every single year the last 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way,
Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is the new offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's the former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, by the way.
Yeah, how did that work
exactly?
But my other thing, just really quickly, is just, oh, by the way, Steelers, you play in a pretty tough division. Yeah. Mike Tomlin, I have nothing but utmost respect for, but his message is getting old. You can tell. Players are not responding to him that well. He's been there forever and a day. Once he's fired, by the way, which they will let him go this year. I think it's his last year in Pittsburgh. People will jump all over him a bunch of hungry guys looking for a meal. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be crazy. But my point is that I understand what the Steelers are doing, and it makes sense, right, from their perspective. But from Russell Wilson, okay. Now if you cannot, with this receiving core, they have a pretty good receiving core, pretty good
they do.
Running back.
Yeah.
If you cannot do it with a Hall of Fame coach, a pretty good offensive line, and decent weapons, not the greatest, but decent, your career is over. This is it. This is a career ender for Russell Wilson. If he cannot get the Pittsburgh to the playoffs and have them get to at least division, I would say his career is over.
And they made it last year. They were 10-7 last year, John. Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
Especially with Kenny Pickett going down. Mike Tomlin did it again. Made it back to the playoffs, right? Yeah. But yeah, you're right. So, you got Joe Burrow in the division. You've got Lamar Jackson, the MVP in the division. So, and I would have to say that Russell Wilson is not as good as either of those two quarterbacks. So
absolutely not.
So I will say, John, that it is cheap for the Steelers because they'll be paying him the league minimum because the Broncos are still picking up $38 million in salary for next season.
Jeez.
So it's a low risk move for them, John. I understand why they're doing it. There is going to be a quarterback competition. I don't think they said that he's going to be the guy. I would expect he's going to be the guy. But that's usually what Tomlin does. Just watch. There's going to be a quarterback competition. There shouldn't be. But there probably will be. So, but it's a low risk move for them. It's only a 1 year deal. So from the standpoint, I think he's an improvement over the other two. So from that standpoint, I like it. But they really have to get a guy, a really great quarterback again in there. And that this isn't how you go about doing it. So,
So
they're going to have to eventually draft somebody else, you know, who that person is, you know, nobody knows, but, this is just a temporary move, I think, for them, unless Russell Wilson turns back the clock and, you know, again, plays like he did in some of his Super Bowl years. Okay, fine. They may extend him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think Denver's picking up his salary. I know for sure this year. I don't know if the year after too, but they're picking up a big hunk of it. So I think I'm pretty sure, and don't quote me on this, I think the Steelers only have to pay him a few million dollars. $1.7 million sticks in my head or whatever the league minimum for a quarterback, whatever that number is that's all they have to pay him because of that big chunk that the Broncos are giving him. So, yeah. So it's basically they're getting him almost for free. So just like the Broncos, the Packers also made their own absolutely horrible trade for a past his prime quarterback, John Hadel, in 1974. The Packers, desperate is the right word for it, to relive their glory years, gave the Los Angeles Rams first, second, and third round picks in 1975 and first and second round picks in 1976. That was a lot. And then John, you're probably like, John who?
Yikes.
John Hadel.
Yeah.
Who the heck was that, right? Very interesting, John, Packers fans. The Packers had almost acquired Archie Manning. Archie Manning, the father of the Manning brothers, right? From the New Orleans Saints. But the deal fell through. So I guess John Hadel was their backup plan. I can't believe that the Rams wouldn't have been willing to give up Archie Manning for five high picks like that. But I don't know. That would have been interesting to find out, John, exactly what they were offering for Archie Manning, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It would probably have been a better alternative, right? Because he was not a bad player. He was pretty good.
No, he wasn't.
So Hadel was coming off an all-pro season the previous year. However, he was also coming off being benched following a 17-6 loss to, of all teams, the Green Bay Packers. John, the Packers defense only gave up 6 points. You know?
What?
Yes, this is in 1974. They had just lost to the Packers. He got benched, and then they traded for him during the season. Hadel in that game against the Packers was 6-for-16 for 59 yards and 2 interceptions. Which was good for a passer rating of 9.1.
There you go.
I think, John, you and I could probably come up with a 9.1.
Okay. Yeah. Very close.
So our head coach at the time, Dan Devine, must have seen something in Hadel during that game, I guess. Even John Hadel himself admitted after the trade, "I didn't really believe it," end quote. That's what he said. And Hall of Famer Ron Wolf, our former GM, the great Ron Wolf, who was GM of the Oakland Raiders at the time, said this. He said, "It was one of those things where you couldn't believe anybody would do that," end quote.
Yep.
In year four with the team, Devine was desperate to find a quarterback who could pair with the top flight backfield tandem of John Brockington and MacArthur Lane, and a sturdy and top flight defense that ended up ranked fifth in points allowed, John. So in 1974, our defense was fifth in points allowed. Pretty good. So yeah. Devine, of course, he makes the deal, right? The Packers won their first three games with Hadle to put the Packers to at 6-5, and in playoff position, only to lose their final three games. Dan Devine quit after the season ended. Bart Starr was then hired to coach the team. Star. In 1975, Hadle started 13 games and threw 6 touchdown passes versus 21 interceptions as the Packers finished a abysmal 4-10. For the next few years after that, John, they were like 4-10. You know, 5-9 or whatever it was at that time. There were only 14 games in a season, everybody. So anyway, that's atrocious. So God bless Bart Starr. Starr, the quarterback, was a legend, an icon. Starr, the head coach, was not. Starr, the GM, was not. So he and the franchise could never recover from the worst trade in Packers history. This was by far, John, the worst trade in Packers history by far.
Absolutely.
Without those premium draft choices, he could never build his team into a contender. Bart, you know, poor Bart. Bart Starr passed away in 2019. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Bart Starr. Side note, John, I don't know if you heard about this. Cherry Starr.
Yeah,
who was married to Bart for 60 years, died on February 27th at the age of 89. Mm-hmm. Both Cherry and Bart left a profound impact on many people's lives through their charitable work. They also made a strong impact on the Green Bay fans and players. Packer Hall of Famer Donald Driver said on Instagram this, "Tell Bart hello," end quote. In Cherry's own words, "We love you all. We love our fans. We love the city and we'll miss you so much," end quote. Much like Bart Starr was the father of the team from 1975 to 1983, truly Cherry Starr was the mother of the Green Bay Packers. On behalf of all fans, we'll miss you both. Very much. John, any comments on that? I figured I might as well give a shout out to her. She was awesome.
Yeah.
She did a lot of things. Like, you know, she'd see some kids or talk to some people. All of a sudden they'd end up at her house. You know, there's several stories about that where she was just so inviting and welcoming. Yes. And so she's just absolutely a saint, according to what I heard. So
she is a very kind woman, very, you know, you would see her at the grocery store, people would say, and she would take pictures with you. You know, you'd see Bart walking around the grocery store or outside. He would talk to you, you know, they were just great people and great ambassadors.
Yes.
For the Packers.
Yeah. Well put. Role models, really, for everybody to treat and other people.
Come on, people.
Very genuine. More of. Great people.
And the thing is, the trade, that's easy. Worst trade of all time for Packers. Come on. That's not even debatable. Next topic. Yeah.
Right. Moving on. The Packers jumped from 6th to 3rd in the NFLPA's team report card. So the NFLPA, of course, is the Players Association, as everybody knows. But they do a report card at the end of the year. And we went up from last year, the previous year in 2022, from 6th to this year to 3rd in their report cards. So according to a survey of 1,706 players, only the Miami Dolphins and Minnesota Vikings finished better than the Packers did in doing the right things to improve the workplace environment. So we were ranked 3rd, John. That's pretty darn good, huh? Absolutely. So via the rankings, the Packers finished sixth in ownership, 15th in locker room, 16th in training staff, and 21st in head coach. Now that part's interesting. 92% of players thought head coach Matt LaFleur was efficient with their time, which ranked 15th. However, he ranked 26th in players believing he was moderately willing to listen to the locker room. So yeah, his ranking wasn't as high as you would have expected. But we were still overall ranked third. Very interesting. Dan Campbell, the coach for the of the NFC North winning Detroit Lions, received an A plus. He ranked third among coaches, with players believing he was very willing to listen. Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell ranked number one among coaches. Just putting it out there. I figured I'd better bring it up since they are in our division. So,
and Kevin O'Connell has won what? Oh, nothing.
Yep. He can't even beat the New York Giants. And at now he just lost his. Yeah, he just bought his starting quarterback.
I just want to. My voice is starting to go, so I'll just do this really quickly. Just saying that Matt LaFleur not willing to listen. I don't know what that means, because again, you're a head coach, right? So if a player comes up to you and says, "Hey, coach, let's fake punt here." Well, you're supposed to say, "Okay." No, you're supposed to be like, whoa, fake punt. Why? You know what I mean? I think it's easier to do in basketball or baseball, where you can come up to a coach and be like, "Hey, in baseball, let me bunt because I know, you know, I can get the first, whatever. It doesn't matter, right?" Mm-hmm. And in basketball, "Hey, I can take the guy to the, you know, to the hoop," or whatever you want to say. But in football, it's like everybody has to know what the other person's doing. So if you fake punt it and off the line, you know, is still standing there and not moving when you're running, it's like, so it's really hard, I think, for a head coach to go like, "Okay, here's 22 people or 25 people or how many people going, fake punt. No, don't fake punt, blah, blah, blah." And how is he supposed to listen to one player? Really? I don't get that, right? I mean, maybe quarterback? Maybe? I don't know. I think it's weird. But okay.
So, John, we're still talking about the NFLPA rankings. So very, very, very interesting. From 28th to 32 in the rankings were the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, the Los Angeles Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs, and Washington Commanders. Now, the Commanders, I can understand. They were ranked dead last.
Yeah, they're.
But yes, they're football fans, the back-to-back Super Bowl winning Chiefs were in there. And they were 31st, I believe. They're almost dead last. The franchise, the Chiefs, did not get a single rating above a C+ in 10 categories. Even more shockingly, they received 3 Fs for the nutritionist / dietitian, locker room, and training staff. And 1 F-. John, I didn't even know there was an F-. There is.
I guess there is.
For their franchise owner. Remember we talked about Clark Hunt last time on the podcast?
Yeah, he sucks.
He sucks. On a positive note, their head coach, Andy Reid, landed an A+ rating, of course. So he was one of the top ranked coaches. Further proof in a long list of reasons why the Packers organization erred in not bringing Andy Reid back a long time ago, by the way, no matter what the cost was. Give up a first round pick. I don't care. Give up two. Andy Reid's awesome. So you have to have elite coaches, elite head coaches to win Super Bowls. And Andy Reid is that. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Too bad they could have brought, couldn't have brought him back home to Green Bay, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're gonna move on to something new. Packers news and notes. We've done this before. There's some really interesting things in here too. The 2024 NFL salary cap was raised to $255.4 million. That's significant, John, because it just went up $30 million. $30 million more than last season.
Wow.
They didn't expect it to go up that high. Now the Packers have more room to negotiate an amicable long-term extension with Jordan Love. NFL fans, Packer Blitz fans, just remember the drawn-out Dak Prescott contract negotiations that he had with the Dallas Cowboys, right? The Packers organization does not want to repeat this debacle. Wendell Ferreira of A to Z Sports said it best. This is what Wendell had to say. Fighting over $2 million or damn it, $5 million per year with your franchise quarterback is simply not worth it. The Packers' priority shouldn't be total value or yearly average. It should be flexibility to build a strong roster around Love in the next few years, end quote. I thought that was well put, John. That's why I just quoted the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he actually said, damn it, in his article. So I got to give a shout out to Wendell for that. The longer contract gives the team more flexibility to backload the deal without compromising the cap so much, and confidence that Jordan Love will be around for a very long time. So what would that contract look like? Well, it may be hard to find a quarterback or an agent to execute the Patrick Mahomes-esque 10-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, but a six-year extension, just like Josh Allen signed with the Buffalo Bills, may be more realistic. Right now, a $52 million yearly average would mean 20.3% of the salary cap. In the next few years, projecting that Love will continue his ascension, that will look like a bargain. So John, I've heard from several people, pundits, whatever, that supposedly know what they're doing. They were talking about a yearly average of maybe in the $40 to $42 million range. It might have to be higher now because of the extra money, the extra $30 million, John.
Yeah.
So
yeah, here we go.
So any comments on that?
No, makes sense. Makes total sense.
The Packers ranked...
Yeah, franchise quarterback. Got to keep him.
Right. Yep, exactly. The Packers ranked fourth, John, in attendance in 2024. Hmm. Of course they did. They had 1,242,403 fans. So 1.2, 1.24 million fans come through the gates of historic Lambeau Field. It's just another reason why the Packers owe their fan base a big debt of gratitude. By the way, the top three ranked teams, John, in order, number one was the Dallas Cowboys. Number two were the New York Jets. Number three, the New York Giants. Yes.
What?
Yes, Packer Blitz fans.
They suck.
The Jets had surprisingly the NFL's second best fan attendance in 2023. Do you think that might have been, John, might have been because of the acquisition of some Hall of Fame quarterback? Big question mark. America's team. I say that loosely. The Dallas Cowboys have led the NFL in attendance. John, Packers, Blitz fans, football fans, they've led the NFL in attendance for 15 years in a row, which I did not realize, but they did. So, and they've done it again, right, John? So, if anybody was wondering, they were one point 4-ish million in attendance. So they were a little bit higher than the Packers, but still not too shabby from the Packers fans. So thank you again, fans.
Yeah.
They owe us. They do owe us.
They do owe us. Come on.
And very exciting. Here is the full 2024 schedule for your Green Bay Packers. So, John, we don't know what order it's going to be.
Yeah, we'll know.
Or April. When or whatever, or who's going where, except for the we do know that there's 9 home games. Bears, Lions, Vikings, Cardinals, Texans, Colts, Dolphins, Saints, and the 49ers. Huh. Great. We also have 8 away games. So we actually may have more home games than away games. That's pretty good. Bears, Lions, Vikings, of course. Jaguars, Rams, Eagles, Suckhawks, Titans.
Thank you.
So, yeah. And again, we don't know when it's going to be yet, but we will let you know as soon as we know. So earlier in this very podcast, you all realized that there were only 14 regular season games 50 years ago. Well, the NFL is now thinking, that's in quotes, thinking really hard about expanding the regular season one more game to 18 games. Boy. So I've heard a lot of that going on, John, where they were thinking about
not do that.
I'm just letting you know, Packers fans out
there, a mistake.
Yeah. So there's a good possibility that they're going to try to extend it again. Yeah,
I love my football, but you're making a mistake. People can barely hold on. The players can barely hold on to 17 games. Man, 18 is just too much. Even though I love football, I
just another game. Just another game to get. It's all revenue.
What's the point?
What it all is. Goodell wants revenue for the owners.
Yeah.
That's all
what's
it is.
The point it's money when you get grab. To the 18th game and the third string quarterback is playing? And like, why?
Yeah, I think last year, John, don't quote me on this, but I think they had like 50 some quarterbacks play last year. So, I mean, it's not an exact science. Right. You can get your starting quarterback hurt really easily.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I did want to mention before we go, Jeff Hafley had his introductory press conference, right? He's the new Packers defensive coordinator. And Jeff Hafley basically said everything Packer fans wanted to hear after so many years of passive defensive schemes and so many defensive coordinators. So number one, John, he wants to play, in quotes, physical and relentless. That's what we like to hear, right, John? So much like the San Francisco 49ers, New York Jets, and Houston Texans defenses. Hafley's defense will play a lot of zone. However, the cornerbacks will attack the opposing wide receivers. I like the word attack. Hafley affirmed, this is what he said, in quotes, "I like to press people," end quote. So that's a good sign too, eh, John? Forcing turnovers will be a priority. I like to hear that too. That means the defensive backs will flock to the ball, will not have their backs to the quarterback, and will keep their eyes on the quarterback as much as possible. So they're going to kind of read the quarterback's eyes, so to speak, John. And they're going to try to start maybe like intercepting some passes, which would be nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? That would be nice.
So third thing, he will bring exotic looks. I'm not sure what that always means. Exotic looks to his defense to get pressure on the opposing quarterback. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was Jeff Hafley calls Green Bay the Mecca of the football world for me, end quote. So that I thought that was kind of cool. So here at Packers Blitz, John and I agree with you, I hope wholeheartedly, right, John?
Yes, of course.
It is. That's right. It's hallowed ground, isn't it?
God.
Right.
Yes, it's hallowed ground. It's holy ground.
That's right. Yeah. It is. So that's it, John, for tonight. John, Packers Blitz fans, fans of the NFL, this is what you get in every single episode of Packers Blitz. You get to stay informed about so many very interesting things happening in the NFL. Most importantly, you get all the latest news regarding America's favorite football team, your Green Bay Packers, not the Dallas Cowboys. We beat them, right? We beat them almost every time in the playoffs, right, John? So they don't deserve that title at all. We're just going to leave it at that. No, they don't. And John and I are looking forward to bringing you many more episodes in 2024. So, John, anything else you have to add before we leave tonight?
Just really quickly, thank you again, Andy, for manning this episode while I nurse my sniffle. I just want to say, Packer fans, we're going to make some changes coming up here. Andy and I are talking about some new ideas for the season and seeing what we can do to make this a fresh new podcast. We know there's a lot of, you know, choices for you, but we really love our fans and our Packer Blitz fans to come and listen to us. Cause like I said, we've endured the bad times more than good times. And now that we have enjoyed our good times, we want them to continue and to share with everyone our love of Packer football. So again, please like and subscribe us, rate us 5 stars with wherever you listen to Packers Blitz on your favorite Packers podcast platform, like YouTube or Spotify, Apple, doesn't matter as long as you listen to us. And that's really it for me, buddy. And
yeah, hopefully you'll get better, so John, otherwise you're going to start sounding like Darth Vader. James Earl Jones.
I will be.
Right.
Breathe it out, everybody. Yeah, there we go. Right. Love that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much again for manning the show. And we love you all, Packer Blitz fans. So go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
All right, buddy. Love you. I'll talk to you later.